Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta, located on 6th Street in downtown Pittsburgh. Fast and free delivery. Give them a call at 412-281-7060. Lunch special starting at just $7.49 with selections including small grilled chicken salad, a bowl of soup, two cuts of pizza and a small garden salad, penne pasta, garlic bread, and a small salad, half a hoagie and french fries, or half a hoagie and a can of pop. That's 412-281-7060. You can even order online. Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta in downtown Pittsburgh and online at ilovegiovannis.com.
The Noon Lunch Hour on Trib Live Radio is brought to you by Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta, delivering the finest in Italian cuisine at impeccable pricing. Named the official pizza of downtown Pittsburgh by the Pittsburgh Downtown Community Development Corporation. Call Giovanni's at 412-281-7060 or find them at ilovegiovannis.com.
Kentler, Tim Benz, Josh Taylor, the Giovanni's Pizza Hour of Trib Live Radio. We got Bill West coming in studio at 1 o'clock today for the fallout. The Pirates yet another loss in the wild card game. Rob Beertemple has been our Pirates beat reporter all season long, of course, and for many years, and he's been a part of a lot of ups and downs with this franchise. Rob joins us now here on Trib Live Radio to put his perspective on last night's loss. Rob,
hello,
thanks for joining
Godfather,
us.
Godfather, how are you?
You are the Godfather.
I don't feel like the Godfather. I just feel like I got a good night's sleep for the first time in a while. It's that pressure of the end of the season grind is over, but now it's the postseason, the off-season postseason for the Pirates, and things get interesting.
Yes, it does. What would you make of the Pirates' reaction as a team to the loss last night, Rob? Tim was saying he thought he was a little surprised that, not that they didn't take it harsh, but he's seen worse locker rooms, clubhouses after losses like that.
Yeah, depressed was not exactly an adjective that leapt to mind in that locker room, Rob. Did you get the same sense?
No, actually.
Oh, I walked away saying that it was
a deal of frustration. A good deal of, I don't know, if maybe depressed is too harsh a word, but I sadness, maybe it would fit. A missed opportunity. There was a couple guys who were holding back tears as I was talking to them. So I think there was a good deal of very raw emotion there yesterday, and it was maybe exhibited in a quiet way. There wasn't nobody beat up a water cooler, you know, in the post game clubhouse.
Well, he was the one guy that I thought was, you know, still edgy afterwards.
Yeah, you know, and that's one thing. I mean, I think because it was the end of the season. I mean, Kashawn has had incidents going back to spring training. You know, there was a time I remember he had a run in during a game when a guy quick pitched him, and again, I forget who it was now. But I think he got tossed that day, which, you know, nobody gets tossed in a spring training game, for Pete's sake. And he's always been, you know, no comment, no, I'm not going to say anything, because he knows, you know, that once he starts talking, he's not going to hold back. And I think, you know, last game of the season, might as well. And I was struck by his honesty. And by, you know, again, some of the emotion there. I mean, he said, you know, they said, I said, why did, what, when they tossed you from the game, what did they say was because? And he said, they said I tried to punch somebody, and I did. I said, well, did you connect? He goes, no, but I wish I did. And, you know, it's not often you get that kind of honesty from a guy, but it went beyond. I mean, I think just from, you know, the scenes that'll strike, you know, that'll stay with me is at the very end there, as I was getting ready to pull out of the clubhouse and go back upstairs, Jordy and Pedro and Neil Walker sitting side by side there in their seats, sipping some beverages, and just kind of looking around and soaking it in. And you know that, you know, those three guys, for the same reason, we're trying to capture some of those memories, because it may not happen again. Certainly for them ever in their career, because no player could ever say that, but it may not happen for them ever again here, and sooner than anyone might think. So you see that. The guys in the bullpen who've been so strong throughout the course of the year, I think, you know, talking with those guys, just an incredible frustration that that there wasn't more they could do at that point. But the game had, it's hard to say when it's only 4-0, but it was the horse was out of the barn, it was out of hand. So I sensed a good deal of emotion in that clubhouse.
Rob, you talked about the guys like Mercer and Alvarez and Walker. I mean, they've come up through this system together. What about guys like Burnett and Ramirez, who know this is their last hurrah and they're kind of going out to the sunset here?
Yeah, with AJ, I think, I even said to him before he left, he was putting his shoes on. I said, now, this is it, right? I mean, I'm not going to have to try to track you down again this winter like I did, the past couple of winters. And he said, no, this really, really is. You can, take my cell number and toss it in the garbage because, that's it for him. And I think he was okay with that because he had his kids there and he was, kept looking at them a lot. I think he's going to miss being able to have them experience the whole big league thing. But I think as far as pitching, I think to a degree he is at peace with what he's done. And I think at the end there that, the body really let him know that this is the time to shut it down. I don't know if he could get through another season. Ramirez, kind of a sense there. He was one guy who I didn't sense there was a ton of, dismay over having it over. I think, he can look back on a pretty darn solid career. And it was great for him to be, I think, more than he let on sometimes, to be able to come back to Pittsburgh and have it kind of come full circle and get to the playoffs and have kind of a fun run with this club for the last month or so. So I think for him it was I don't want to say a good ending, but maybe a bitter, more bitter than, more sweet than bitter at the end for Rami.
And what you said about A.J. Burnett having his kids with him and, kind of walking off of the sunset, you mean all three kids because you're counting Jeff Locke, too, right?
the boy wonder. Yeah, the boy wonder. It's going to be weird. Jeff said it's going to be weird not having A.J. around last year. He said before, when Burnett went to the Phillies, he was still in the big leagues and he was still, he was still around even though he wasn't in the clubhouse. He was still in the bigs. But he said this is really going to be different. It's a total break now that, if he wants to talk to him, he'll have to get him a ticket.
And does Jeff know how to find the post-game spread or the showers, or can he get from the locker room to the field by himself without following AJ? Has he gotten to that point yet?
I think he knows his way around. Yeah, okay. I think he's okay. Right. I think he'll be all right.
Rob Veertemple, our guest. We've already started the off-season look-aheads, Rob, but tying it in with last night's lineup, how does Pedro not starting the game affect, if at all, their view of him, their feeling about him going forward?
I would love to know, and I've heard talk, that that decision was, to a degree, influenced by analytics, that it maybe wasn't entirely Hurdle's call. That, certainly he had a lot of input. He's the manager, and it ultimately was his call, yay or nay. But that it was, the suggestion might have been that, things in the past haven't worked. Maybe we try this. Maybe this is the stronger way. Because he kept referring, even in the days leading up to that game, that, pulling numbers and, he's added 15 pounds from all the pie charts he's been looking at. I believe there was a lot of numerology that went into the construction of that lineup, and he's a guy. He's at the end of the day, he's still essentially an old school players manager, and I think he wanted to have Pedro. That's why I think we saw the quick change, that and the fact that they were already down a couple of runs, and it felt like 100 to put Pedro in the game, and he still got four at bats, but. You still wonder, he's going to be an $8 million or so player next year, and he really doesn't have a position. It just really, there's nowhere else they can put him now. And if it's that much of a liability, he can still swing the bat. I mean, we saw that home run against the Reds that, 453 feet or whatever it was. It was just titanic. But I just overall, that the Pirates need more.
Rob, when it comes to the long term with the outfield, we've been talking about this a little bit. Do you see it continuing to be McCutchen in center and then Marte in left? Do they ever flip-flop there? And is there a move to be made with one of the three outfielders, if not this year, the next?
Interesting you bring that up, because when I was talking with Rob Rossi earlier this morning about some of that, when you look at this team, it really is driven so much by the outfielders. That's the first three batters in the order, usually. You know, last night they had Marte in the cleanup spot because of just the unusual lineup construction. Two of those guys signed up to longer-term team-friendly deals. Polanco is they're still trying. They're going to make another attempt to sign him to a multi-year contract, even though you still see that there's some rough edges in his game, obviously, but there is also tremendous promise there. They've got to decide, I think. You know, it might come to a point where, you know, they they've got to choose two of those three guys and move one of them to acquire some pieces to create the what the GM always talks about, the payroll flexibility. It's, you know, they have some pieces in the minors that may or may not be able to fill in long term. I mean, I hate always, like, you know, I never want to be one of those guys who you talk about the minor leaguers and you just assume, you know, sometimes people just assume that these minor leaguers are going to reach the big leagues and they're going to be stars and everything's going to be great. But they do have some what appear to be at the very least serviceable guys, like, you know, Keon Broxton, who wound up on the wild card roster, Willie Garcia. I think Josh Bell might still eventually move back to the outfield. So they have, you know, stop gaps at the very least in the minors where they could afford to move one of those three guys. Does that decision come this winter? Probably not, but I think we'll, you know, next season, the way that things play out, will go a long way to determining, I think, what the outfield could look a lot different in 2017 than it does going into spring training 2016.
Of the bullpen guys, they're going to lose quite a few of them, Rob, and this is as good of a bullpen as I've seen maybe in my lifetime. I don't know. It's just incredible. Melanson was a huge part of it. He's in arbitration year three. What are you hearing in terms of his future with the team?
With the Pirates?
Yes.
I think there's the assumption of a lot of almost everybody I've talked to, you know, in that clubhouse, the assumption is that Mark will be elsewhere next year. That he's kind of, you know, you look at where he's at now, kind of similar to where Joel Hanrahan was when they went out and got Melanson a couple of years back. You know, he's reaching the point where 51 saves is going to get him a lot of arbitration dollars this year, and can the Pirates afford to spend $8, $9, $10 million on a closer when they have a guy like Tony Watson who could perform that role, where they could perhaps find less expensive ways of going about it? I think probably they do move Mark Melanson and get a couple of pieces or whatever and try. And one thing that Neil Huntington has done so well throughout his tenure really has been put bullpen together. He's just a master at not only matching up different styles and throwing styles and different ways of getting outs, but just the different personalities and really just forming really cohesive units out there in the bullpen. So, you know, I'm not one of those people where I don't think it'll be the end of the world if they trade Mark Melanson, because they've shown that they really, you know, they can take pieces that you wouldn't expect would form a great bullpen and form some really strong units.
Rob, we talk about the bullpen, and we haven't really talked about the rotation outside of A.J. Burnett and Jeff Locke and the things that Tim talked about, but this rotation could look a lot different next year also beside the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously Frankie and Garrett are your 1-2 in some order next year coming back. I think Jay Happ will be a priority. I think they will try to sign him.
You do? You think they're going to be able to get that done?
He's what, 30? I'm going to say 32 off the 32, top of my head, yeah. Years old, so that means maybe a 2 or 3 year, maybe 2 and an option. So you're looking at maybe 2 and 25 plus an option year.
What I fear is some team gets stupid and gives him too many years or too much money.
Yeah, well, the one thing, in a way, maybe what helps the Pirates is this is going to be a great year for pitching. There's a lot of really good pitching on the free agent market. So maybe it'll be a glut kind of situation. I also think that they will try to get a deal done as soon as they can with Jay. And you know, put an early press on it. And Happ really seemed comfortable here. I think he really likes working with Searge. I think he enjoyed the clubhouse. I think there's just a lot of things, the Pirates, a lot of positive things working for him that they might be able to. But at the same time, I think this is the first time he will be a true free agent. I think before he's been traded, and then the Blue Jays extended him. So he really hasn't had a chance to test the market. And if he really, you know, with the numbers he's put up, I'm sure his agent is going to say, hey, let's give it a go. So I think it's incumbent on the Pirates to really be aggressive. If they want to keep him, to be aggressive and make him, a best offer quickly in the process the longer, you know, it'll be like a Volquez kind of thing. The longer it goes, you know, the further away he gets.
Well, lastly, Rob, and you wrote the Neil Walker piece a month ago or whatever it was, which had the writing on the wall. So if you're right and they keep happening, they trade Melanson, Pedro, and Neil Walker, what kind of a haul can they get? I mean, that there'll be some negativity, of course, from some fans, but they could get a nice return there.
Yeah, I mean, it would be difficult to gauge, again, because of the free agent market. It will impact how, you know, what they're able to get in trades as well. I think, you know, it might be a really busy winter meetings for this club, and I think maybe any trades might even come after the winter meetings, maybe closer to Christmas or maybe even January before they really start to shake out this roster. Because, you know, it depends on how quickly signings come and what teams are looking for. It's such a pitching heavy market too that could affect things when it comes to trading or moving position players. Walker, and I'm not entirely sure that this winter will be the time for Walker because the Gong injury changes things a lot. You're hoping that that Jung Ho can get back by May or June, but there's no guarantee that when he does get back that he'll be the same kind of player. I mean, that's a pretty significant injury. I've talked to some medical people and done some research on that type of injury, and it can be a career-changing injury, especially as it relates to athletes. It could be one of those things where you're just never the same kind of guy, and I don't know if they're going to even know. It might take until the running the course of 2016 to know if or what they have left, you know, in Jung Ho. Now, hopefully he's one of those guys that, you know, most players come back and you're good, but you really don't know. So if that's the case, maybe they hold on to Walker this winter and they look more toward the trade deadline in July, especially if, you know, the season goes sour before they move Neil.
That's really great insight, Rob. Thanks for all that and the visits throughout the year. I know the Bucko Roundtable will be missed hopefully maybe it'll be year-round. I don't know. There's certainly cause for it these days.
It's a rectangular table, by the way.
Yeah, it is, the rectangle.
Well, thank you much, guys. Appreciate everything, and take care.
All right, you too. Rob Beertemple into his offseason, as Bill West will be after he joins us at 1. But what do you think about that, Tim, if you want to go through those quickly? Priority for Hap. Gung injury may be career-changing, might change their opinion on Neil Walker. Pedro and Melanson probably both traded. Another attempt at Polanco. If that's the way they go, if Rob is right there, do you like that, and is it a winning formula for next year?
The most interesting thing has happened. That is a good point he brought up at the end about how the glut of pitching, which didn't exist last year, which drove up pitching prices on the few that didn't deserve it, maybe that drives the price down by extension on Hap to the point that they can get something done. And maybe it's not even price, but it's just years.
The Rick Porcello-type deals will help
yes,
the Pirates
if you
want to keep
the
price down.
Call it the Porcello
down.
Effect. You can call it that. Yeah.
Oh, please use a better name. My God.
But it sounds like it's a fait accompli on Melanson from his point of view, from Rob's point of view.
Do you use the same logic as far as the starting pitching market? We talked about the first baseman market. It ain't that great, so maybe that actually drives Pedro's price up as far as shopping him to an American League team.
Yes. And, you know,
well, probably that's looking for a DH as opposed to a first baseman, but still.
If Neil Walker's back now, God, how awkward is that going to be after the 2-month farewell?
Well, no more awkward than, hey, Pedro, you're our opening day first baseman, not Sean Rodriguez.
Yes. Analytics drove.
Well, of course,
decision.
I mean, that's probably because Sean Rodriguez will be playing the other 7 positions while Pedro plays first because he's that valuable.
It's like that Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Well, a lot of the guys look like Bugs Bunny swinging at the same ball over and over again and missing last night.
Strike 1, 2, 3, you're out.
At Pirates Cooler tweets that x-rays came back negative. Thanks to everybody for the well wishes. He'll be back better than ever next year.
I almost spit my beverage into my computer screen when I saw the tweet from the Pirates water cooler to Sean Rodriguez's Twitter account that said, "Do we have a problem here?" I almost spit my drink into my computer. Oh, my God. I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, so somebody else said Matt Williams would have put him right back out of the field and said, "He's my cooler."
he's our cooler. That was fantastic.